What is emptiness? What is emptiness? It is the way things exist. It is ultimate truth. It is the way things actually exist, as opposed to the way they appear to exist. So these two things, emptiness, ultimate truth, is the way things actually exist, their mode of existence, as opposed to the way they appear to exist. So for us, things appear to exist in one way, a particular way, the things we normally see. But they don't exist like that. That isn't their way of existing. Okay. So for us, when we see any object, it appears to have an independent existence, which has nothing to do with our mind, nothing to do with anything else. It's just an independent object sitting there in space. I'm looking at a chair now. That chair just seems to be there. It's just there. That chair is just there. My ignorant mind is telling me that chair is just there. It's got nothing to do with you. Your mind has just come along and perceived it. This is not the way things exist. But normally we think they do exist like this, the way we normally see things, the chair we normally see, the person we normally see, as an independent object. We say an inherently existent object, a chair that has some inherent quality. It's got some sort of aspect about it that makes it a chair, that it doesn't share with anything else. So we say objective existence, inherent existence, existence from its own side. These are all synonyms. They all mean the same as the things we normally see, the chair we normally see, the self we normally see, an inherently existent self, an independently existent self. Okay? Independent from all other phenomena. It's got nothing to do with all other phenomena. It simply exists in and of itself. So this aspect of the way we perceive things is crucial for us to understand. And I've told you basically the same words as Venerable Geshe-la uses and the same words as Buddha uses to explain about this. Now what we have to do is to contemplate these phrases again and again. Inherent existence, true existence, objective existence, independent existence, existent from its own side, the thing we normally see, phenomena we normally see, they all have the same meaning. But what do they really mean for you? You know, what does it mean to you, that phrase? Does it have a meaning? If it's just words, then I may as well be speaking in Japanese to you. Which I won't do, but tempted to say Japanese, but you know, words need a meaning, don't they? So we need to know what is the meaning, okay? Then Geshe-la says, although things appear directly to our senses to be truly or inherently existent, in reality all phenomena lack or are empty of true existence. They have a lack of true existence. There is no true existence. And then we talk about the dream. So I come back to the dream now. Quite important. In reality, everything is just an appearance to mind, like the things seen in dreams. If we dream of an elephant, I'm sure you know this example very well, but we should think about it. If we dream of an elephant, the elephant appears vividly in all its detail. We can see it, hear it, smell it and touch it. But when we wake up, we realize it was just an appearance to mind. We do not wonder, where is the elephant now? Because we understand that the elephant was simply a projection of our mind and had no existence outside of our mind. So everyone in the world gets this. Even children understand this. When children wake up at night crying because they're having a nightmare, they're seeing in their dream some horrible monster that's chasing after them. They're screaming in their dreams, in their sleep. And their parents come in and wake them up and say, don't worry, I'm here. I'm your mum, I'm your dad, or whatever. Give them some comfort. And show up, switch the light on, show the child around the bedroom. Look, there's your teddy bear and so forth. And they say to the child, it was just a dream. Of course, the child's probably still pretty scared because the child still hasn't understood about dreams. But gradually, children start to get it. Oh, yeah, it was just a dream. Don't they? They begin to understand when I'm dreaming, I'm perceiving something, but then when I wake up, that something has disappeared, it's gone. You know, when we're kids, when we wake up from those dreams, sometimes we think that monster is still in the bedroom, don't we? Look under the bed or something. Don't step out the bed. Don't get out the bed. It'll get you or something. We still have these strange ideas, but as we grow up, gradually we realize, oh, when I'm dreaming about something, it's only appearing to my dreaming mind. And when I stop dreaming, when I wake up, that object will be gone. I don't bother looking for it again. It's gone. Okay? So the reason that Buddha uses this example is because everybody understands it. And it is exactly the way in which all of the objects in our waking life exist too. It's the same way. They exist in the same way. Like objects in dreams. They only appear to the minds that they're appearing to. They only exist for the minds that they're appearing to. When those minds cease, those objects cease. So, yeah. When the dream awareness that apprehended the elephant ceased, the elephant didn't go anywhere, it simply disappeared because it was just an appearance to the mind and did not exist separately from the mind. And Buddha said the same is true for all phenomena. They're all mere appearances to mind, totally dependent upon the minds that perceive them. So the world that we experience when we're awake and the world we experience when we're dreaming are both mere appearances to mind. And they both arise from mistaken conceptions. Both mistaken. They both arise from mind and they're both mistaken conceptions.